initially when I first got started working out, I ended up going to the gym with just a friend or so, and I always would stick to just like the cardio equipment, the machines, and never free weight, because I was always so intimidated by doing anything that was outside of my comfort zone. Back on it, I'm like, how did I do that? But a lot of people would just take it for what it is and be like, okay, then I'll come back and do it another year and just, you know, wait for everything to be perfect. But, you know, the time's never going to be perfect to, you know, keep pushing towards your goals. So I think that's where a lot of people kind of lack. You know, when things get tough, you either give up or you push forward. So starting off small and just, you know, hit the basics, hit those habits, hit the discipline that you want to instill in like your lifestyle, and just slowly work up and build up towards that. And obviously, like, your mindset is a huge, huge contributor to that.
Welcome to the Thought Leader Revolution with Nikki Ballou. Join the revolution. There's never been a better time in history to speak your truth, find your freedom, and make your fortune. Each week, we interview the world's top thought leaders and learn the secrets of how they built a 6 to 7 figure practice. This episode has been brought to you by eCircleAcademy.com, the proven system to add 6 to 7 figures a year to your thought leader practice.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the podcast, The Thought Leader Revolution. I'm your host, Nikki Ballou. And boy, do we have an exciting, amazing guest lined up for you today. Today's guest is a Canadian national bikini bodybuilding champion. She has been one of my coaches that's helping me get on stage, and she works with my GOAT mentor, the one and only Ammer, the Hammer Camera. I am speaking, of course, of none other than the one, the only, the legendary Lindsay Martins. Welcome to the show, Lindsay.
Thanks, Nikki. That's an amazing introduction.
My pleasure. Well, they call me the Bruce Buffer of the podcast intro world. You know Bruce Buffer from UFC?
Yes, I do. Is that from your, like, you just went to watch the UFC? That's where you're at.
Yeah. No, I always do it. But no, that's our thing, man. I love that guy. He's the best introducer in the world.
I agree.
So Lindsay, the people who listen to the show are all people like you and I. They're looking to get better in life. They want to learn. They want to grow. They want to move their businesses to a whole other level. And they come listen to the show not because of me, because I'm here every week. They're coming to listen to the show because of you. They want to learn from you. But before they can open their hearts to you, they got to get to know you. So tell us your backstory. How'd you get to be the great Lindsay Martins?
So you want from like day one to like the very beginning
day
of
one,
my...
Give it to us. We got time.
Right. So initially when I first got started working out, I ended up going to the gym with just a friend or so. And I always would stick to just like the cardio equipment, the machines, and never free weight, because I was always so intimidated by doing anything that was outside of my comfort zone. I eventually made friends with the girl at the desk, and she actually got me started on like a meal plan and a training plan. So that's initially where it kind of started. And she was actually one of Ammer's clients. That is kind of how we made that connection. She actually took over my first prep for my bikini show. She ended up posting, I think it was like a progress photo of me, and Ammer had messaged her and was like, are you coaching her? And then he kind of just took over my first competition prep. That is how it kind of began. I guess I've been a client of Ammer since around 2018. Yeah, it's been a while, but obviously, like, you find somebody that you work well with, and obviously I work extremely well with Ammer. So yeah, it's just kind of been history since then, right? And just been hitting like multiple competitions. I think I started off actually just doing like one competition a year. And then as I was progressing a little bit better and kind of taking the time like in my off season to build more muscle and then come back better each time. So once I kind of hit a spot where I kind of had more muscle development, that's when I started hitting, I think I did 2 shows 1 year, and then I did 3 shows. I believe it was, I can't remember which year. I think it was the year after COVID, just because during COVID, I think I did 1 show, and that was definitely an experience in itself, just because like you're wearing the mask. It's not like, it's not the same. It was very It was training in my garage in the winter time with like freezing cold weights. And like, yeah, I don't recommend that, but that's kind of where we started. And we've just kind of obviously been working up to that goal of the pro cards. October is when I officially got it.
So you got your pro card and you became Canadian champion. Like, that's a big deal, man. Becoming a national champion in any sport is a big deal. It's a huge accomplishment. So talk to us about, first of all, why did you set that up as a goal for yourself? And secondly, walk us through what it took to get your mind right for you to win. Because there's a lot to winning, right? Winning doesn't just happen, especially for a national championship.
Definitely. So I think one of the most important things, like I noticed like when I first started working towards like, you know, just even competing, and I didn't really have a thought of like, oh, winning my pro card. It was just more so like, oh, let's test this out, see how it is. And I eventually obviously fell in love with it and been doing it since. But when I first started, my mindset was nowhere near what it is now. When I actually was prepping for my pro card, I had broken my foot. I remember going to the hospital and the doctor telling me like, yep, you definitely broke your foot. And I was like, okay, the first question that I had asked is like, can I still do the bike for cardio? Because I was thinking in my head, I'm like, I still have 2 hours of cardio to do. So that was like my first thought was, how am I going to do this if I have a broken foot? He ended up coming back and he's like, okay, you have to wear this air cast for, I don't even know how long he said. I think he said for about like 3 weeks or something like that. I can't really remember. But I remember getting into the car after with my foot in an air boot, and I was just sitting in the parking lot at the hospital just bawling my eyes out because I'm like, how am I going to tell Amber? Like, there's no way that I'm going to be able to, like the first thought was, okay, how am I going to do cardio? Two, how am I going to hide this in my check-in photos? Because I didn't want to tell him. If that would have happened, like, at the very beginning of my, like, competitive career, I would have just been like, screw it. Like, that's it. I'm done for this season until my foot heals and, you know, go from there. But my pro card win, I was just thinking of like, okay, how am I going to work around that? Obviously, like if I would have given up with that broken foot, I wouldn't have had my pro card.
So you broke your foot while training for the pro card qualifying championship. You won a Canadian championship with a broken foot as part of winning it. That's freaking crazy.
Honestly, I look back on it and I'm like, how did I do that? Because it's, you know, everybody, a lot of people would just take it for what it is and be like, okay, then I'll come back and do it another year and just, you know, wait for everything to be perfect. But, you know, the time's never going to be perfect to, you know, keep pushing towards your goals. So I think that's where a lot of people kind of lack is like, you know, when things get tough, you either give up or you push forwards. I give a lot to like Amer, like he's really created that mindset and instilled that mindset in me to continue, like just keep pushing forward regardless of how hard things get. So I think that had a lot to do with it. So having like that mentor and having that person to kind of, you know, say, it's okay, like, this is what we're going to do, plan of action, like, this is how we're going to move forward. So I honestly give him a lot of credit towards like how obviously I've developed my mindset.
Amor's the best. I mean, honestly, me starting to work with Amor February 2nd, 2023, between February 2nd and August 11th, I dropped 58 pounds. I was 55, 56. I turned 56 on August 12th. So I did it in a 6 month period. And a lot of people my age are not doing that. They're just not doing that. Right. And people that knew me are looking at me going, what the hell happened? How'd you do this? What happened? And I'm like, I followed a plan that a coach who knows what the hell he's doing put forward for me. That's the most important thing in any area of success. You need good mentors, you need coaches who know what they're doing. I mean, I used to be a fitness coach and you know, I was a decent fitness coach, but I'm not at Amor's level. I never was. And the truth of the matter is that having someone at his level makes a massive difference. But you did the work. You took on the mindset. You won a national freaking championship. Your foot was broken. And when you found out your foot was broken, your thought wasn't, okay, I guess I quit. Your thought was, how do I work around this? That's unbelievable to me. So one of the things to do is what you're saying is if you really want to take yourself to the next level of success in anything in life, it's the question has to be when life throws adversity down your throat, you got to pull it out and go, okay, how do I work around this? Right?
Exactly. Because there's always going to be shit thrown your way, but you just have to figure out a way that you can obviously manage things and, you know, just continue pushing forward, right?
So winning that championship, winning your pro card, huge deal, big, big accomplishment. What did you have to believe about yourself to make that achievement possible?
So, okay, I think there's like a huge difference of obviously my mindset when it came to this competition, but I know my peak week, I have never really been in like peak condition to really take advantage of my peak week. But for my, obviously the Canadian Nationals, I was able to, well, Amber was able to manipulate a lot more going into the show. And I think that gave me the confidence. And I don't know if this sounds crazy or anything, but you kind of like tap into that mindset of like, I just knew that that was my pro card that day and I just had to show up. And I don't know if Amber has told you this, but I actually wrote him the thank you letter for getting my pro card the night before. So going into my competition, I was like, okay, I just have to show up. And I just like, I think a lot of it too was because I like the broken foot was sure a huge roadblock, but there was so many things that had happened that year that I just like dug a little bit deeper. And I really focused on like, okay, like I handled so much stuff this year. Stepping on stage that day was literally the least of my worries. Like that was just, you know, I just needed to show up. I had never had that confidence going into any of my shows previously, but that one, it just kind of like felt different. Like I truly believed like I am getting my pro card today.
Your level of belief in yourself was what allowed you to win. You, whatever doubts you had had in the past, you excised them, right? You basically went through the process of doing the work to be confident and believe in yourself. Because Lindsay, like, frick, man, I've seen photos from your competition. I mean, you look amazing. You're like a beautiful feminine beast. You know what I mean? I know those two words don't usually go together, feminine and beast, but it's a fact. Your muscles are like lean, feminine, and big and beautiful, and you look terrific, right? So the truth of the matter is that if you're giving someone advice and they're looking to lose weight, and I know you're talking about peak week and things like that, but you're going to have to explain it to the people because no one knows what the heck that means, right? People aren't in that world. So when you say peak week, you got to explain what that is. What is it that allows somebody who doesn't have that confidence, what do they need to do to build that confidence in any area so they can win?
So you end up getting super depleted, obviously, by the end of, you know, your competition prep. So say like a week out, that's what we consider our peak week. So you basically feel like death 2 weeks out because you're low carb. Most of us are very low carb. You're doing high cardio. You are basically a zombie at that point. So peak week is the week that you obviously peak. So that's when your carbs are increased, your cardio is getting decreased. So you want your muscles to obviously be fuller. You want all inflammation to come down. So that's why you cut back on cardio a little bit. And then it's just like you come to life. So that's a little bit about the peak week. And sorry, what was the other question that you had asked?
What does someone who's listening to this need to do in order to be able to build up their confidence and get rid of that self-doubt that they have in whatever area they're going for, be it like, you know, going on stage or losing weight or making more money?
So I think a lot of it is obviously being comfortable with yourself and building up that confidence, like within yourself, where, you know, sure, maybe you're just getting started with something and you're not really comfortable. But as soon as you kind of have like more of that knowledge, more of that confidence, you're building up, you know, a good routine structure, you're just getting into a better mindset. I think confidence is just kind of a byproduct of that.
So basically, for someone to develop confidence, they got to do the work. That's the bottom line. They got to do the work. Confidence comes from taking steps and taking action and not quitting.
And, you know, it just takes like small steps too. You don't have to start from like zero confidence and like build, like expect yourself to be way up here. It's like a gradual increase. It might be a little bit of a wave, but it's just over time you end up building that confidence anyways with just, you know, structure, constantly, you know, and like surrounding yourself with people on like the same mission as you as well. So a lot of my friends are obviously bodybuilders, competitors, and that's who I choose to surround myself with.
I think that's really important. I think we should spend a bit of time going into that point because one of my coaches, his name is Mark Von Muser, used to work for Tony Robbins. He was Tony Robbins' director of coaching and training. And he said that one of the things that he learned from Tony was the importance of who you surround yourself with. He calls it the law of proximity. So Tony used to make about $10 million a year, which is a lot of money, right, for the average person. But he had a bunch of buddies who made like $400 million, a billion a year. And one of them was Pat Riley, who was the former coach of the Miami Heat, coach of the Los Angeles Lakers back in the 80s, won a whole bunch of basketball NBA championships. And one day, Pat goes, "Hey, Tony, I want to invite you to come be with me and a group of guys who are part of this thing called the Scorpions. You know, they're all a bunch of multi-billionaires, and we're going to go away for 10 days, and the cost is like $50,000 USD. You know, you get to hang out with these guys and blah, blah, blah." And Tony was like $50,000. I mean, he had the $50,000, but he'd have to move some money around to get access to it. But it was the time. The bigger thing for Tony was like, because he was working Slam, saying, "I don't know if I got the time to do this." And then Pat said, "Tony, you don't get it. When a group of multi-billionaires invites you to spend some time with them, you move your schedule and you make the time. This time is going to move you forward in a way nothing else will." So Tony's like, "Okay, fuck, all right, fine, I'll do it." So he did it. What happened was he hung out with a bunch of multi-billionaires. He was like, "Okay, these guys are making money." And they were telling Tony, "So how do I make money? These guys are buying companies, making $100 million, $400 million, $500 million a day." And one of these guys says, "So how do I do this?" He said, "Well, you need to take advantage of the law of proximity. You need to hang out with dudes who do this." He says, "Well, I know some people." He says, no, Tony, you need to know the people we know so they can make this deal happen." So anyways, long story short, out of one of the connections he made there, he did a deal. In a single day, he made $400 million. $400 million out of who he hung around with. So you became a national champion because you hung out with competitors, champions. If you hung out with a bunch of gals who didn't really care about that, probably not as likely, right?
Yeah. Well, it's also different lifestyles too. Like, people prioritize different things, where it's like, I found like a lot of the times it's like, "Oh, like, we have this dinner, we have this party to go to, this kind of," like, just stuff that I just no longer wanted to be a part of. And I knew that deep down inside is just, I was still surrounded by those types of people. So then, you know, shifting that like circle of friends to obviously like people that are on the same, you know, path as me, and just kind of pushing ourselves to, like, I would much rather like go over for dinner and have chicken and rice and, you know, go to the gym or something like that. But I also find too, like, when you first surround yourself with people like that, like you had said, like, your confidence level is low. Like, you're like kind of intimidated. You don't really feel too comfortable in that scenario. So like, the more that you get comfortable with that, it's like you start here and they like slowly like bring you up. You really become like the people that you hang out with, the people that you surround yourself with, that is who you will ultimately become as well.
You are the sum total of the five people you hang out with the most. That's a fact. I think that's really, really good, a really good insight. And everybody who's listening to this ought to think about that for themselves. If they're looking to get in better shape, you know, get their business to go up by 100,000 or 1 million or 10 million this year, they need to really take a quick look, not a quick look, but a hard look at their associations and make sure that the people they're hanging around are the kind of people that think like them and want to move forward like them.
Exactly. And I have, I have a client, and, well, I have a few clients, but this one specifically that just came to mind after you said that, I've kind of been supporting her over like the past few weeks, just because she's realizing that with her current like friends group, none of them really support her on her like health and fitness journey. And she's just kind of slowly like separating herself from those types of people. And she's becoming so much better. Like, I remember like first starting to coach her, she was all over the place with her schedule. She just wasn't consistent, like constantly would turn to food for like emotional support just because she had so much going on. And ever since she's kind of like prioritized herself, prioritized her goals, and like surrounded herself with people that like support her, she's just been doing fantastic. Like, it almost becomes a lot easier for you as well, because you don't have that like restraint or people holding you back.
That makes good sense. So, Lindsay, if someone is listening to this, they're a businessman, businesswoman, they want to get in shape. They've heard me talk about how I've lost all this weight last year, and now I'm starting to put on some muscle, and you're part of helping me do that. Teresa and I come and do some workouts at the gym with you, and you kick my ass, and it's good. If they're thinking about taking a step here, walk us through a series of steps they need to take in order to go from wherever their health and fitness is now to like peak health, peak fitness, you know, peak being proud of how you look and feel.
Ultimately, I think that you have to set realistic expectations. So if you throw too much on your plate at once, you're going to feel like a failure if you're not nailing all of those things. So starting off small and just hit the basics, hit those habits, hit the discipline that you want to instill in like your lifestyle, and just slowly work up and build up towards that. And obviously like your mindset is a huge, huge contributor to that. You know, if you have like 20 different goals that you have set, but you only hit like five of them, you're going to feel like a complete failure. So if you have five goals and you set, you know, obviously those five goals and you nail all five of those goals and you continuously can do that over like maybe say 4 weeks, add another habit, add another goal that you want to accomplish. So then it's just like you're slowly taking those steps up to that lifestyle or like those goals that you really want to achieve.
Okay. So give us an example of what those habits could be, those goals, those mini goals could be.
One thing I really like to do is obviously get up early in the morning, get my, it depends on my day, honestly. Because I sometimes have clients really early, so I just have to really focus on structuring my day better. But I like to get my workout done before basically the world wakes up. So once that's out of the way, then I can focus on other little things as I go throughout the day. So everybody's lifestyle is a little bit different. So you just kind of have to find something that works well with your schedule and, you know, your habits, all of those things. So I don't keep junk in my house. There's no desserts, no, none of that stuff. I don't know if you listened to that podcast that I did with Amber about the ice cream. There's no ice cream.
No ice cream in the house. No. Yeah.
There's no more ice cream in the house. So actually so my peak week, right before my competition, I was undergoing like a lot of different stressors. Like there's just so many things that had happened. Like my car broke down. Like there was just so many things. And I had just like that one moment of weakness. And I still regret it, but I definitely ate the ice cream. So yeah, I don't keep junk. Let me tell you, Amber was not impressed. But yeah, I just like, I set myself up for success. So, you know, the alarm goes off in the morning. It's a non-negotiable. I get up, I go to the gym. I just don't keep junk in the house, because if it's there, you see it. Like you have to constantly turn it down if you are looking at it all the time, right? So why not just get rid of it in general? I remember one of the coaches, I think it was Deborah from Lady the F Up, she said it's a lot easier to say no once at the grocery store than to say no like 20 times at home. So like that's one thing that's kind of stuck with me. I'm like, oh, that's so simple. It doesn't have to be like complex habits or things that like make it really tough for you to stick with. It can just be like, you know, something as simple as setting an alarm, put your alarm clock like in a different room, or like your phone, obviously your phone alarm. Nobody really has alarm clocks anymore. But yeah, just like setting yourself up for success, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes sense. I mean, for myself, I don't have a lot of stuff in this. I mean, I got two teenage sons, so there's protein bars in the house. They're not for me. The protein bars are for the boys. You know what I mean? There's bread in the house. They like having toast. Bread's not for me. I don't have the bread. You know, unless Amber like gives me like a carb loading day, in which case I'll go nuts, right? But other than that, I know it's not for me. There's steak in the house. We got lots of steak in the house. We got, you know, lots of, so this is my basic day, man. I'm so freaking boring.
I was going to actually ask you, what are your habits daily that you kind of like to stick with? Walk us through a day.
Okay. So, this morning, I got up, 5:30, you know, got dressed, went to the gym, met with my buddy Matthew. You met him. He's in from Belgium. He's here, and another buddy of mine, Perry, who I'm trying to convince Perry that he needs to sign up with Man the F Up. So because he saw me lose all the weight, and he's going, oh my god, like I outweighed him, and now he outweighs me, and all that jazz. And so I went to the gym with these dudes. We pushed, man. We did arms. Oh my God, my arms are hurting. Like it's good. We pushed ourselves. Once that was over, went to the office. I had a call. I had my breakfast. So I had my protein drink, which was a scoop of protein, water, medium-sized banana. Then I went to the office. I had 45 grams of oats, a scoop and a half of protein, and 100. Today I only had 80 grams, so I didn't have enough blueberries with me. So only 80 grams of blueberries. I ate that. Then I got on a podcast. That was an hour. I was being interviewed by somebody. Good interview. Set up a follow-up business call with them, which was good as well. That's part of what I teach people to do is when you're a guest on a podcast, you want to learn how to turn that guest appearance into money for yourself because that's a powerful thing podcasts can do. When that was done, went to Costco. Was out of a lot of food. So I bought a bunch of steak. I buy a whole strip loin, bring it home. I chop it up into 16 pieces. I bought some other meat, bought a bunch of other stuff, brought it home. Had a business chat with Teresa, my lady, you know, Teresa, she and I, we work together. So we went over some of the things we have to do work-wise, some of the things she's doing for us, right? Because like, she's really good at certain things that I'm not good at. And so we were talking about what needed to happen. My lunch was a 325 gram steak. Now, my protein's normally a bit higher than that, closer to 370, 75, but that was the size of the steak that was in the fridge and ready. So I ate it. 100 grams of green beans, 100 grams of onions, 100 grams of tomatoes, and then 200 grams of sweet potato. That's it. That's my lunch. And salt and lemon, and I squeeze lemon.
And it's funny too, because you clearly do this like repetitively. Like it's a daily thing. Like you can tell me to the gram of like what you're consuming. Like, you know, it's just that repetition, obviously, that instills that discipline. And
yeah, and I'm looking forward to having the steak again. Like steak's my go-to. I love steak. Like it's my go-to, man. I'm kind of dreading Amber telling me, okay, when you're cutting, I'm sure he's gonna tell me a lot of steak. Yeah, too much fat in steak, you're gonna start eating like ground chicken in egg whites. And I gotta find a way to do egg whites so I don't throw them up, man, because like cooked egg whites, just like plain cooked, though. Teresa's saying, well, you can do egg whites and do some funky stuff with it and it won't be so bad. And I'm like, okay, show me how. Because right now, the way that I know to cook them grosses me out to like even try to eat them.
I've definitely been there, and I ended up switching to just drinking them just to get it over and done with.
What? So you bought like the thing?
Yeah, the cartons, because you can't have them like from an egg. Like you separate them because then you can get sick from it. So the pasteurized egg whites, those are okay to drink.
So what do? Like you mix it with some stevia or something so you can handle the taste? Like how do you drink it? Just plain?
Sometimes I'll throw in like a scoop of chocolate collagen, mix it up. And you know those companies where they have like the flavored egg whites? I don't know if you've ever seen
it. I've seen it. I haven't had it.
That's what I tell myself that it tastes like. But that way it's just like done. Get it over with.
So can I throw that in like a shake with some powder and stevia? Maybe that's a way to do it.
Probably do that. It'd be pretty high in protein.
Yeah, it would be. Okay. I'm willing to do that. I don't care. I mean, if I got to get cut at some point. Right now is my building phase, but at some point I got to get cut. I got to get like what I want to get to at the end is I want to look like Frank Zane. You remember Frank Zane?
Yes, I remember you saying that.
Yeah. So like he has such perfect symmetry. His legs are perfect. His arms are perfect. His waist is perfect. I mean, do you think I should shave my beard for the contest or whatever? Like, because, you know, I always take it down. But
I think you might have to for the tan and makeup.
All right, I'll do it. I'll go back after the competition. Okay.
Exactly. Nobody
will recognize me. They go, who the hell is that dude? That's funny.
You could probably still keep the mustache like Chris Bumstead.
Yeah, Chris Bumstead. There you go. That dude's a beast, man. Oh my God. He's a total beast. Okay. So Lindsay, if people want to find you, they want to like talk to you, they're looking interested to work with you, what's the best way?
Best way would be to go on my Instagram. So it's coach.lindsaymartins, LINDSAYMARTNS. Or I've also started to get more content out on YouTube, so they can also subscribe to me there. They can comment on videos, you know, whatever there. Also on TikTok, I'm starting to get more content out on TikTok as well. But my main contact method would be Instagram. Like you can send me a DM. I have a link in my bio where you can click to book a call with Lady the F Up as well.
Okay. So in your bio on Instagram, there's a link to book a call with Lady the F Up. So if someone wants to have like a discovery call with you, that's the best way to do it. Okay. We'll make sure we put all that stuff in the show notes so people can come and find you. Guys, Lindsay is spectacular. Like, I've done a number of training sessions with her. Amar connected us. Usually I do them with my Lady Teresa. So, you know, the adage that a couple that does things together stays together, I believe in that very strongly. That's one of the reasons I do that. I'm going to go back and do some sessions with Amar too, because I know he wants me to do that. And I want to do those. But it's been fun working with you. You're great. You push me really hard. And I can say this, Lindsay's the real deal. Do a couple sessions with her. You'll be glad that you did. And she knows what she's talking about. She's Canadian national champion. She won her IFBB pro card. That is incredibly difficult. That is insane. Being a national champion in any sport is a big, big, big deal. So I just want you to know that you're working with somebody with those level of credentials if you decide to go and meet with Lindsay. And I highly recommend it. I've worked with her. I think she's awesome. That's why I brought her on the show. I wanted the world to see what she's all about. I wanted to showcase her, and I'm glad that she agreed to come on the show. So thank you so much, Lindsay. Lindsay, we end off each episode by asking you as our guest expert to give us what I call your three top expert action steps. These are like your three best pieces of advice in bullet point form. So before you do that, you got to just let me to go and grab my notebook, because I always like to write these down in addition to recording them, because I just think they're super, super califragilistic, awesome. Normally, everybody's expert action steps rock, and I know yours are going to rock. So, Lindsay Martins, what are your top three expert action steps?
Top one would definitely be mindset. Your mindset has to be in the right position. Second, discipline. Third, I would say focus.
So your mindset's got to be in the right position. Your discipline has to be in place.
Yep. And you have to be focused.
Yeah. And you have to be focused and consistent, right? Focused and consistent.
Exactly. Exactly.
I like it. I like it. Short, sweet, to the point. Lindsay Martins, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for sharing your wisdom with us. I really appreciate you. I appreciate the opportunity to work with you week in, week out, because you're a terrific coach. You got fantastic energy and you're always smiling, which is great. You know, going into a gym, especially sometimes first thing in the morning when I get there, I'm not always necessarily raring to go immediately, but within a few minutes of the workout starting, I'm raring to go. And a big part of that is having someone around me like Teresa, who's always like excited to work out, and you, it just elevates my energy. So I got to tell you personally, I'm very, very grateful for how you show up as a coach, how you train us. And it's a lot of fun getting to know you and hang out with you. And I'm grateful that you came on the show and you shared some of your thoughts and your expertise with us. And congratulations on being national champion and your IFBB pro card. I think that's fantastic and amazing. Always grateful to hang around winners. I love it. That's part of my shtick, is I love hanging around winners. And you're a winner, Lindsay Martins.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Good. I'm glad. And that wraps up another exciting episode of the podcast, The Thought Leader Revolution. To find out more about today's amazing guest, the one, the only, the legendary Coach Lindsay Martins, Canadian national.
This episode has been brought to you by ecircleacademy.com, the proven system to add 6 to 7 figures a year to your thought leader practice.
.com or wherever you happen to listen to this episode, be it iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or what have you. Until next time, goodbye.